What God wants is that he said, you are a chosen nation, a royal priesthood, a people for God's own possession. He says that you might show forth the excellencies of him that called you. All right? God is not a mediocre. God is not a failure. God is the best in everything that he does. And that is exactly the spirit he's trying to pour forth into believers. There's a friend of mine. Let me just give her testimony. She went for one exam and she passed. And he was saying that she should take the second one. I said, well, just take it for what it's worth. He said, but it won't add anything to her. I said, well, it won't. So after much discussion, he said, she's not taking. I said, you've already paid for the exam. Then she told me a story, which I like the story very much. She said that when I was in school, she's a doctor. She said, when I was in school, I used to have a lot of difficult times passing my exams. She said, then one day I encountered the word of truth, that there was a revelation she had once. And from that day, she swore that every exam she would take it very well and pass everyone. And that since that time, she has been passing the exams. So she told me that for that reason, if she's not serious about taking something, she doesn't take it for taking sake. Now, I was impressed by that testimony that she said, listen, there was a time I was like this. Then the word of God came and it lifted me up to another level. You understand what I'm saying? Now, that is testimony. It becomes a lifestyle. Every time, he said, that's my attitude towards everything that I do now. That is that's what I call the spirit of excellence, which God wants his children to have. It's when they have that spirit that he will use that thing to lift them up. That why God lifts people up is not because their God is a living God, primarily. I mean that's the primary reason. But in manifestation, the Muslim that is going to employ you or have you run a business for him, he is not going to care whether your God is a living God or not. What he's going to consider is, are you very good? So when he discovers how good you are, that you are 10 times better than everybody else, he says, how come? You say, because my God is a living God. You understand that? Now, don't let me sit down there. Let me go on to something else. So we have said that the wisdom to do all of these things, that God has kept it for the upright. That is the same wisdom that God used in creation. And that what we find when God says, let there be, and there was, It's a flash, that is many things happening in an instant. But of those many things, God can slow them down, break them down, and give you wisdom for one of those things, and you indeed will become a star amongst men. Now, we explained that. I will not go over that again. If anybody was not here, then pray. All right. But you'll get the tape later, or it's easier if you want it on CD. All right. Genesis chapter 1. Yeah, from verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. And rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. I will stop there. My emphasis again, verse 28. God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule. Let me stop there. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. When you have done that, you now have the power to rule over everything that's on the earth. Do you understand that? Okay, so the commandment of God to man, therefore, is be fruitful and multiply. Meaning that, you see, I like what the head coach said, God doesn't give advice. He only gives commandments. You have a choice to disobey or to obey. Advice can be turned down. Do you understand my point? And if you turn down, somebody gave you a piece of advice and you turn it down, you have not sinned. That means they are not supposed to run your life. But somebody gives a commandment and you don't do what you are told, you have disobeyed. Do you follow me? Now, what am I saying, therefore? When God said to them, be fruitful, it wasn't, let's discuss this thing. Fruitfulness will be good, though. That's not what God was saying. It was a clear-cut instruction. The reason why I have created you is that you should be fruitful and you should multiply. Jesus will say, go and bear fruit that your fruit may abide. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is not a matter of good advice. What God is discussing here, no. It was an express commandment. Now, let's quickly go back to something we read in previous times, that Isaiah chapter 9. We read it before. It said, for a child will be born to us, verse 6, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, he said, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Emphasis verse 7, there will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. I want to stop there again because that's where I really want. Now, what am I saying? The Bible says that the earth will become the kingdom, the whole kingdoms of men will become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and it will reign forever. And we have explained the technology by which this will happen. Not as if Jesus will come down personally. The Bible says that who will go up to bring him down. He said, but the word is in your mouth. All right, even the word of faith that we preach. Now, what am I saying? That Jesus will not come down physically to take over these kingdoms before his return, because the Lord has said in Psalm 110, he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make all your enemies a footstool for your feet. What am I saying? That the whole earth will become the kingdom of our Lord before he comes down to take over the kingdom personally. That is, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ will be a culmination of events, not the beginning of another set of events. You understand what I'm saying? That is, it is not as if when the devil is about to kill all the people, he will now come down. No, it is that he has sat at the Lord's right hand and all his enemies have now been made a footstool for his feet. That is, the whole earth has become the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you tie what I'm saying together? And now we have already explained that that will happen by the expansion of his kings and his lords. Now, bear that in mind and recall to your memory right now, Genesis chapter 1, where we're reading earlier, that God commanded, be fruitful and multiply. Why am I reading all of these things? Sometimes we have misunderstood what humility is. Do you get my point? And we have misunderstood what contentment is. Let me define those two terminologies for you in a very godly and scriptural way. Contentment, I'll use my friend Igbokwe's definition. He said, contentment is knowing your place in life and living like you are there. Do you understand? Humility is... okay, now let me give you my own definition. Humility is never arguing with God. That is what humility is. Whatever he says you are, that is what you are. Wherever you say he says you can go, that is where you can go. Now, we have to understand that God is not a man. That is, we are trying to be like God. He is not trying to be like us. You understand what I'm saying? So when God says you can do this and you say I cannot, he's angry. You are telling him he doesn't know what he's saying. With human beings, oh, you're a very humble fellow. I told him he could do it. He said, no, I don't think so. So human beings think you are humble. But God thinks you are foolish. That you are telling me I don't know what I'm saying. When God says, you are a mighty man of valor, he say, I am a small and weak man. He say, oh-ho, are you saying I'm stupid? You know, imagine God telling you that. Are you saying I am stupid? Are you saying I don't know what I am saying? That's why I told somebody once that Jesus never came and said, I'm just a lowly servant of God. No, he said, I am the light of the world. He that follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. If you don't like it, like Fela will say, go and hang. There's no discussion. He said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness. They still died. But I am the bread that came down from heaven. Do you know why he said that? Because it was the truth. I am the good shepherd. You are thinking so highly of yourself. I have not thought more highly than I ought to think. That's what the Bible says. Do not think highly than you ought to think. You are understanding what I'm saying? That is, if God says you are something, to accept what he says is humility. That is what humility is. You can't impress God with what I call false humility. Like somebody, if somebody introduces me somewhere now and say, this guy is a man of God, I will not. Yes, I am. Give me five. Shake your hand. Because you've just told the truth. If you say this is a great man of God, I will also agree with you. Because you are not lying. You are telling the truth. If that, through this man you are saying many will be saved, I will agree with you. So you see this man? Oh, prosperity is flowing towards him like crazy. I will agree with you. I will not argue with you. Because you have not said anything that's not written in the word of God. I mean, that God has not even informed me of beforehand. Do you understand my point? That's what humility is. Humility, I can only say, the masses. I said, there are words that don't come out of my mouth by mistake. I am not a common man. How can you call me a common man? Before you met me, how many of me did you see? Common things are things that you see commonly. You know what I'm trying to say? If you don't find something commonly, it is not common. Someone was saying recently, I was listening to a message. I think it was Muslim, my pastor in Lagos. I listened to him a lot. He said somebody said that T.D. Jakes, those days when they were small, small ministers, that he used to walk like a bishop. He said, yes, you might say that I'm a bishop, I know. Now he's rated as America's number one preacher. Unbelievers say this is the best preacher in America. He's one of the I think he should be the most watched preacher in the U.S. Maybe Benny Hinn. Maybe either just before him or just after him. Look, if you are the richest man on earth, physically speaking, it is not humility to say, I'm just trying. What do you mean by trying? What is it? Humility is to know exactly where you are and agree. When God says this is it, Christian humility is to say this, that, God, you are correct. Contentment, let me go back there, is to know your place in life and live like you are there. One day I was in my office. One of those medical students that my friends walked into my office. I was working on it. This was many years ago. Right after I came to Enugu, I was working on my laptop. I said, okay, you use a laptop. So you are living large, Joe. I told you, you are very stupid. Do I look like your mate? No. Am I your mate? Do I look like a medical student to you? If I can't afford this, what can I afford? I'm telling you the truth. That is what? Contentment. No, that's contentment. Look, I don't buy cars for fuel efficiency. So if I can't buy fuel, I won't drive car. There's no quarrel about it. Do you understand my point? I can't be driving a lawnmower because I don't want to buy fuel. Because 1 gallon will carry me for 3-6 weeks. It's contentment, my brother. It's contentment. I hope you are following what I'm trying to say. Contentment is knowing where you are in life. Look, know where you are and live like you are there. If Bill Gates is living in a house that's valued at under $1 million, he's not being humble. You can't have $4 billion paid to you as dividends in a year and tell me that you cannot afford a house that costs $100 million. He said there are poor people on the earth. The Bible said the poor you have with you always. If you give out, you are so generous, you give out $3.5 billion, which was something like what he did. I heard the man collected his dividend and just gave every single dollar out to charity. Doesn't need it. You know, a lot of gospels are colored by poverty, not by poverty. The man has not yet seen wealth. So he tells himself, every rich man is crooked. So God says, since you are a righteous man, I can't make you rich. What am I trying to explain? That the commandment of God is be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Do you get my point? One of the lies believers used to tell themselves those days. He said, no, I don't need much. I just need a car, a house. Enough money to feed myself, my wife, my children. Maybe they give them good education. In short, you are good for nothing. You know my point? You are good for nothing beyond taking care of your family. And if that was the reason why you were born, why should you be born in the first place? That is, it is not a matter of humility. To say, I don't want much in life. No. You know, get me? You have to balance the gospel very well. You know, but there is a song that people have said is evil. And I say, no, don't say it is evil. Understand it. But again, I will say today that be careful lest you take the song in an evil manner. Let me say what I say. They say, you take the whole world and give me Jesus. I am satisfied. I said, listen, the person I believe, I wasn't there, who wrote that song was saying that I hold my Jesus higher than every other thing on this earth. Like Paul said, all of these things I have counted as dung for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. That's just what the way it is. So what he was saying in effect is take the whole world and give me Jesus. But it's another way. If he's saying this whole world, I don't want anything but Jesus Christ. I tell you, listen, Jesus is always tangibly manifested. So if your Jesus is always in the spirit, you are a non-entity, you are an irresponsible person. You are useless to God upon the earth. Now, if Jesus said, I want to take over kingdoms, and the taking over of kingdoms means becoming the man reigning over a vast business enterprise cannot be rated as a poor man. Are you getting what I'm going to say? That, look, because God does not do things in a communal fashion, now you have to understand what I'm going to say. God will not say, okay, all of you, this is a public liability company. That is, it belongs to the world. That doesn't belong to God. It is public. When he wants to do things, he gives to one person. You hold it for me. That is, the world will name that thing by your name. Do you get my point? The things that God reign over. Listen, people say that I'm voting for Jesus. I said, Jesus always has a name on the ballot box. Vote for that person if you know who that person is. Are you getting what I'm saying? So, if a vast company, a big business, is going to be under the lordship of Jesus, a lord of Jesus, you know what I'm saying? One of the lords of Jesus must have absolute control over it. And listen to this, that is what people call wealth. You're not getting what I'm saying? That is, a man who decides that he has to be poor in life cannot expand the kingdom except he's a preacher. That's what I want to say. Now, get what I want to say. That is, if you are just a John the Baptist, preaching, talking, it's fine. But since preachers and talkers are a minority, the rest have to be influential. That's the point I'm getting. The Bible says something clearly. It said, who was speaking now? Solomon. He said, there was something I found out. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. He said, also, verse 13, also this I came to see as wisdom under the sun, and it impressed me. Listen to this. Solomon said, I came to see this as wisdom under the sun, as wisdom, and I was impressed by it. What was it? There was a small city with a few men in it. And a great king came to it, surrounded it, and constructed large siege works against it. But there was found in it a poor, wise man, and he delivered the city by his wisdom. Yet no one remembered that poor man. So I said, wisdom is better than strength, but the wisdom of a poor man is despised, and his words are not heeded. Now listen to that. Wisdom is better than strength, but the wisdom of the poor man is despised, and his words are not heeded. That was what Solomon said he observed under the sun. Now, get what I'm saying. He said there was a small city, in it there was a poor man when they were in crisis, and the man delivered the city by his wisdom. And he said, no one remembered the poor man. Does that make sense? No, let me answer, it doesn't. Who has a Good News Bible? If you don't have it, get home, look for one. Good News Bible says like this, and that was the sense in what he was saying. It said there was a poor but wise man in the city who could have delivered the city by his wisdom, but nobody remembered him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He said he could have delivered the city by his wisdom, but nobody remembered him. So I lamented that wisdom is better than strength, but the wisdom of a poor man is despised. If he delivered the city, his wisdom was not despised. Do you understand my point? The Good News Bible renders it so well. Today's English version. It said there was a poor and wise man there who could have delivered the city by his wisdom, but he was unable to do this because nobody remembered him. So I lamented that wisdom is better than strength, but the wisdom of a poor man is despised and his words are not heeded. What am I saying? You know, I've told that, let's leave what works once in a real while. Let's talk about the way God expects things to work normally. Job said, when I sat at the great gates, I sat as chief amongst them. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That God never designed for Christians to be poor yet influential. No, it's not true. It's not true. Get what I'm trying to say. The commandment is be fruitful and multiply. Those are two different stages. There is a stage of planting your seed, stage number one. Then it becomes fruitful. That's the first stage in our context. Then from the fruit, you plant the seeds that are inside the fruit. Then they begin to multiply. I'll talk about that another time. What am I saying here? That first dust it away from your brains that there's any glory in wanting little. It is irresponsibility, considering the assignment that God has for Christians on the earth. Do you understand what I'm saying? That these men have to learn to enlarge their coasts. There was something my pastor said, he was speaking along these lines, and he said that any small business will always be swallowed up by a big one. He gave an example which is very interesting. He said, if you are making zobo in your community and you are making money, you are feeling happy. He said, woe betide you the day Coca-Cola starts making zobo. No, you know that's the end of your business. Your business just closed. They will make zobo and sell at half your price and you're dead. Why? This is the point here. You have broken a simple rule of the scriptures. Anything that is must always grow. You must be fruitful first and then begin to multiply. Multiplication does not stop. Because of the increase of his kingdom and the accompanying peace, there shall be no end. Look, after I discovered this also, although before I had vision, but vision began to increase. We are going on radio in about 3-4 weeks' time. From there, we'll go to more radio. I don't like television, right? You understand my point? I don't know. I have something against TV. It's just me. It's nothing. He said, you don't want to multiply. No, I'm still multiplying. His voice over the ears, Abi. Uh-huh. But there shall be no end until this same thing you are hearing is heard around the globe. Do you get the point I'm making? That is, the day I will know that the work is really moving, it's when I get to a motor park and somebody puts my own book in my face and say, bye, read on your way. I say, yeah, this thing is spreading. No, get my point. That is why my aim is to keep cutting down the cost. Look, see, if I can print, instead of 1,000 copies of each book, if I were to print like 20,000 copies, I would pay a quarter of the price. No, what I said, do you understand what I'm saying? That if I go to a press, instead of printing 1,000 copies, where I had paid the 100,000 naira, they would charge me, maybe, this is a hypothetical situation. Let's assume I print a material, a book or a magazine, something now, for 100,000 naira, for 1,000. If I were to print 20,000 copies, each copy will come to, everything will come to 500,000. That is, each copy will come to 25 naira instead of 100 naira. No, that's how printing is. So, it shows you that the one that has, more shall be given to him. It's a scriptural principle. So, if you do not desire to have more, then you shall continue to go down. You understand why, you know, sometimes we look at something like SAP, structural adjustment. It was bad, things were tight. Do you understand my point? But do you know it made people more productive? I was discussing the other day, I think I don't know whether you were still there or it was just me on Dr. Ocheni. And I said, the days of SAP in my place, there's so much land around the town. They're just there, bush. Then when Babangida introduced structural adjustment, every civil servant dived into that bush and began to farm. So much that there was a glut of food during the harvest season. That is, there was so much food produced They couldn't sell it to get money. What am I saying? That the difficult times made people productive. I'm coming to a point here. That a lot of times people settle down in a job, earn a salary, get increment every year, promotion every 3 years, and then a rapid one elevation of position every 10 years. And they are happy. Do you know why? Because their children's school fees can be paid. They can build a house over the next 30 years and retire into that house. And they feel happy. So God said, this is not good. It gives you small inflation. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So everybody wakes up and says, what am I doing? I can cook rice, okay? No, that's it. Go to work, you're a school teacher, from 8 in the morning till 2. From 2:30, you cook rice till 6 p.m. Then suddenly, from cooking rice, you're making 5 times your income. That is, the structural adjustment has been a blessing. Literally, not in disguise. But the reason why it came is because people were working against one simple rule that says, be fruitful and multiply. They refused to multiply once they became fruitful. They came out from school with a certificate and got a job and sat down there, flat. That is why occasionally, you see, you can never stop it. There must be retrenchment. It's a spiritual principle. You have to force people out of their comfort zones. If a Christian ever comes to you that is starting from his job, hold his hand and rejoice. He said, I pray that they will bring me back. So you must be stupid. Why should they bring you back? There are better things you can do. That's why God kicked you out. No salaried man becomes very great if he stays with the salary. None. Because his hand is always beneath. He's always taken at the end of the month. They always drop into his hand. You know, I've told you, my aim in life is to pay salaries. Not to collect. Come on. The head and not the tail. Do you get what I'm saying? The head always gives salary to the tail. You know, when people are dreaming big dreams, I remember once when I finished residency and I said I wanted to go to the university to go and teach. And people were like, no, why didn't you look for a work in an oil company? I said, me? Work in an oil company? I said, I can't. That is, it was not an issue of look for work. Don't you want money? That is the reason why I won't go there, because I want money. He was like, what are you talking about? I said, listen. I said, I need a job that gives me my time. You can't employ me from 8 in the morning to 12 midnight. No, I won't work for you. It's not possible. As God lives, I will not. You can't pay me enough. And I mean that. This is when my wife was working in UB. My problem with working in that bank was simple. I said, you are no longer thinking. That is... 7:30 in the morning, you are out of the house. What is 7:30 in the house? In the morning, 7 a.m. Because you have to be inside the bank before 7:30 so that they can lock their gates and open their vault. And 8 o'clock, you open to customers. And you do 1 plus 2 from morning till evening. Now, this is a fact. Don't let's fool ourselves. In fact, the day I knew the end had come was when they put her inside the cage. I said, the end had come. When you were working internal control, you could use your brain. You solve problems. Where did this come from? I said, when they said, just check the balance and pay money, you will soon suffer cerebral atrophy. That is, you won't be able to think well again. And I mean what I'm saying. Especially when they say, close at 8 p.m. I said, this is not the will of God. Cannot be the will of God. Many people need to leave their comfort zones to obey God. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is, you are too comfortable. You need to go to a village somewhere. Go and take a holiday, you know. Angrily resign a job somewhere and go and be hungry for 1 month so that your brain will wake up. You are complacent. No, there's a scripture you should read. I'm telling you. Believe me what I'm saying. There's one scripture I wanted to read. King James used the word, the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. That's what King James says. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 32. It said, for the waywardness of the naive will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. Now, let me explain something there. If you have a King James, what does it say? And the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. That's what I want to understand. The word prosperity. Now, like my Bible, New American Standard uses the word complacency. If you read NIV, it says complacency. If you read the New King James, it also says complacency. You understand? Now, if you read the American Standard Version, it says, and the careless ease of fools shall destroy them. I think I prefer that, actually. Careless ease, because I read a commentary on it once. This was many years ago. Trying to explain why the word complacency was chosen over the word prosperity by a lot of translations. That actually the word says, literally says, prosperity. But that it wasn't talking about prosperity. In fact, let me use my own words now because I can't remember what the person said. But that the word was prosperity. But that the emphasis was on the contentment brought by prosperity. Do you understand my point? And that was why American Standard Version says the careless ease of fools. And I like in the New American Standard also, which says the complacency of fools shall destroy them. That is, when the man has achieved a little, he says, so rest, you have landed a good job. God said that is the beginning of destruction. That is, this is the exact opposite of the quest for fruitfulness and multiplication. You know, I said something to us before, that something is clear from the scriptures, that any money God gives you has two things in it. Seed and bread. Bread is the one you consume. Seed is the one you sow. I said there are two kinds of seed, which everybody must sow. The most important seed is the spiritual seed. That is a fact. Because blessing must come from God. Do you understand what I'm saying? And therefore, you must lay spiritual foundations for everything. In summary, the way of sowing spiritual seeds is to give out to let me use the word, to charity. You understand the word charity? I don't mean necessarily to the poor, but to give out money. That's why, you've heard me say it before, a lot of emphasis laid in Christian circles, this is about giving. Is based on a correct doctrine. I find a bit of fault in too much emphasis. You understand my point? That is, people just preachers like it because it gives income to the ministry. You understand? Maybe we need money for something, and I decide I keep on preaching on giving. Now the truth is that I am not feeding you with the word of God. I'm manipulating you to get money for what we need. Now I will feel righteous because I feel like after I'm not planning to eat the money. I want to do the work of the ministry, but that doesn't make it right anyway. But if you do it soundly, one day I'm going to do, in fact, there's a teaching I have planned up, maybe we'll come after this, we may do that, which I planned, I call it financial management for Christians. Now, it's just purely a teaching of the word of God. You understand my point? All right? I will discuss some of these things. But what I'm saying is this, God expects every believer, first and foremost, that's why he said, honor the Lord with thy substance and the first fruit of thy increase. Notice that. He said that is the foundation that will make your vats, make your barn be filled with food and your vats overflow with wine. That is, if you don't honor the Lord with your substance, honoring the Lord is simply charitable giving, period. Do you understand my point? Now, that's one kind of seed. Now, that is the first and most important kind of seed. But secondly, there is a seed that is a physical seed that we read that is in Psalm 126. It said, restore our captivity, O God, as streams renew this desert. And God said, those that sow in tears shall reap with joy. Now, what he was talking about, there was not, now it can be applied, but that was not exactly what he was saying. He wasn't talking about spiritual seed. He was talking about physical seed. That is, there is structural adjustment. All I have is 5,000 naira to meet all my needs. God says, why eat everything? Now, you have given your spiritual seed good. So, I'm willing to bless you in abundance. But before I can bless you in abundance, you must sow physical seeds. Do you get the point I'm making? I don't know why I like using teachers as example. Maybe you're a school teacher. Normally, in the afternoon, you go and sit down and do nothing. God says, take from that money, save 500 naira from it every month. After 3 months, go and rent a small room and start giving extramural lessons to students. God says, I will turn the heart of people to love your lessons. Let me cut the story short. You look back 10 years after and find out you are the proprietress or proprietor of the biggest secondary school in that area. We started from one single room that you rented with 1,500 naira. Do you understand the point I'm making? That is, you have become fruitful. Now, the mistake you make is to think Now, that's what I call the complacency of fools. Now, you have enrollment, 2,000 students in a very big school. And you look at yourself, you're just 40 years old. Oh, you have made it. God said, look at you. Why do you think I gave out licenses for private universities? There are children that leave secondary school. Where do they go next? Stop being complacent like a fool. Don't settle down that I have made it. Do you get the point? It says, stop. Don't rest. That my soul rest. You have a good school laid up for the future. God said, if you continue to rest, if you don't get up from your seat and do something next, then I might take that school from you. It's very simple. I just wake up one day and say, okay, all private schools, school, government wants to take over schools. Why? Because you have become complacent. The reason being that you thought you now have enough money coming from a particular area. Do you get what I'm trying to say? That is what God says next, simply. Be fruitful. That your school is fruitfulness. He said, but begin to multiply. Okay, you have a school here. Why must you have only one in Enugu? What's wrong with Abakiliki? They told those in Enugu, I don't want to go to school. Okay, they need this good secondary school. God says, see, you feel because I'm 40 and I've tried. He said, no. By the time you are 50, I want these schools to be 10. One every year. Do you understand what I'm saying? So by that time, anyway, your university must open. Start with one simple faculty that does not need a laboratory. Don't start with a science faculty. Do you get my point? Start with a faculty that all you need is a library, lecturers, and classrooms. And you know, in fact, maybe one day I should get involved in running the university because I think it's actually very easy to run. No, really, it's not as expensive as people think. All this cost is because it's government that's paying. That's why we pay so much. Go to read American adverts. You will see most of their business schools are taught by part-time business and by part-time lecturers. They just have a dean of the faculty. It may be the only full-time person. My wife is doing MBA. Go and ask her. Most of their lecturers are not. A lot of their lecturers are not full-time lecturers. These are guys who run their businesses in Lagos. They just fly down to Enugu, give lectures, and go back. And if they are. Look, that's another area of spread of the kingdom. If there are men like me there, I will teach you for as little pay as possible, just for the pleasure of teaching. I'm telling you. I said, look, start with that. Okay, no, if you now we've had a business faculty for some time. You say, okay, you think that's what people want to study? What's wrong with science? That is why when people say they are retiring, I wonder what's wrong with their cerebral cortex. Retiring from what? I can't retire. That's why people die anyhow. You just wake up one day, find out you are dead. I mean, okay, you won't wake up back here. That's why you find out you are dead. Why did you die? Because then you're no longer useful. Do you get what I'm going to say? Look, you keep on advancing when you have. Look, let it be that one morning you schedule a meeting and you didn't come. They say, what happened? They say, Papa died during the night. Hey, that's a better way. How old was he? 105. Retire. Forget. Not me. Believe me. I'm happy this is on tape so somebody can quote me later when I retire that you say you won't retire. When I retire, no, I have sinned. You understand my point? That it was sin and iniquity that caused retirement. As long as I walk righteously, the Bible said they will be old and